We also greet you in Jesus' name. Are very thankful to be in the house of God. Appreciated much what we have heard this far, and struggled a lot with what I should share about, but finally settled on seeking and receiving counsel. And was thinking quite a bit of Henry's message last Sunday on choices. And when we are confronted with choices, how do we go about to make those choices? So seeking and receiving counsel. Psalms 1 is a piece of scripture that I have memorized, and I would really like to encourage the church to memorize this piece of scripture, Psalms 1. And I would like, it is such a good lesson for any daily living. As we seek or receive counsel, if we can really keep in mind the walk of a righteous man and how to attain that. So I would like for us to all together recite or read this psalm. And in going on with future messages, I would like to get it to the point where the church can say this Psalms 1 without looking at your Bible and all recite it together. And I don't know how many times that it will take to do this, but I'd like to remember to do that. Before I preach, I would like for us to get up and recite this until we can recite it without looking flawlessly or whatever. But today I'd like for us to all stand and see and read this together, this psalm. Is each one ready? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. You may be seated. Thank you. Seeking and receiving counsel. As I think about this title for the message, my mind goes way back to when I was a young person. And I'd like to tell you a little story. And I saw in our bulletin, and maybe I'll get Ralph's permission on this. I think he is the Sunday evening person, is that right, that came up with this. As far as sharing a defining moment in your life that played a role in who you are today, it's a little bit, you know, I'm not exactly sure that I can just say that, yes, that had something to do with who I am today, but it really impacted my life. I have never forgot it, and to me it is a valuable lesson that I learned in seeking and receiving counsel. And I was wondering if you would allow me to just take my turn now in relating this and how it has impacted my life. I'm not sure what age I was. I think I was 15 or 16. And it was when Pop shared with us boys a problem that we had, that he was facing, and he asked counsel from us boys or advice on what to do about this problem. Back when I was young growing up, we had a grinder mixer and we would grind ear corn for feed for the cattle. Today, most people just use shelled corn. But we are still thinking, as my son James also, that if you really want optimal feed, the best feed for cattle is when you have ear corn, you can grind that together. And it really makes a feed that is high in fiber, and it's just a healthy feed. But we wanted to store a lot of ear corn, and Pop did not know, you know, should we spend the money to put up a grain bin or a holding facility, you know, to put this corn in? What could we do? What should we do? And he asked us boys that, and I came up with the idea. We had an old tobacco barn, and came up with the idea to concrete the floor of that tobacco barn and use that as a holding place to put ear corn in, and then we could shovel it off the concrete, you know, and grind it in that way, and wouldn't have to spend for a grain bin because we had the barn. And when I related to my dad how I felt in that, he really liked the idea, and that's exactly what we did. But what really stood out to me was my dad was known by me as being a very firm person and not somebody that really needed advice and counsel, usually made the right decisions. But it really impressed me that he was willing to seek counsel from his boys. And that was not the only time. There were lots of times that he would ask advice from his sons and even his daughters. So it brings the question today, how open are we as parents to our children? And also, do you feel the need to teach your children to seek and receive counsel? Do you as parents feel that need? Do you know that one of the best ways to teach them is to seek and receive counsel from them, from your children? To me, it's a very necessary thing for parents to be open with their children and seek and ask counsel from their children, because they have lots of choices, as Henry brought out, lots of choices they need to make in life. And how you go about to make those choices is very, very important. And choices are very, very important as well, as Brother Henry brought out. And Henry stressed about being connected with the Holy Spirit as we make choices. But I would also like to stress about being open to our brothers and sisters with problems that we have, or things that come up in life, is that we are open. And today in our Sunday school lesson and our scripture reading there, it brings out about us being in darkness or in light as relates to us loving our brother. And that is very interesting to me. If you don't love your brother, you're not walking in light. You are walking in darkness. So it's interesting to me that the Bible makes a clear connection that if we can't connect with our brother, we can't connect with God. If we won't ask counsel from our brother, are we really open to counsel from God? Because when we walk in darkness or we walk in light, that is very significant, that is tied to our brother and our sister. But it really makes sense when we realize who the bride of Christ is and that we are his very flesh and bones, as Ephesians brings out. And also, I hope I don't expose Henry beyond what he is comfortable with. But here some time ago, he gave me a call and was wanting to seek advice and counsel on the business venture that he's got going now. And he asked me what I thought about it. And I did share with him how I felt and what I thought, not saying that that is, you know, we cannot always know that our counsel is good, but just the openness to seek and receive counsel is something that is necessary for God's blessing in our lives, financially and otherwise. And I was favorable to Henry as far as how he was looking at things. I agreed with that and told him so. And then it was not long after that I received a phone call from a place where Henry was seeking some financial aid. And that person was asking counsel from me, how do you feel about this? Well, do you think that Henry, having asked me ahead of time, just felt a little bit different when this other person came asking counsel of me? It just, there is an openness there that is something that is, I don't want to use the word necessary, but is something that I believe God blesses when we are open to counsel. When we just go ahead and make our own choices without counsel and are not walking in light with our brother or having things open with our brothers and sisters or anyone for that matter, I'm not saying you can't be blessed financially, but there is something I believe in that person's life that is really missing if we are closed to seeking and receiving counsel. Young people Brother Robert, in his devotions this morning, was bringing out about asking for something, but asking amiss. And that is also something that is very interesting. We can ask, and we so desperately maybe want certain things at times, but we are asking amiss. So what do we do when we ask and it seems like our prayers are not answered? I'm here to tell you that every prayer is answered, folks. Every prayer is actually answered. The question is, are we willing to receive the answer? Are we open to receive the answer? And there's many times that we don't just get what we want. But that's the answer. If we ask for something and it is not given, that's the answer. In one sense, you know, my wife is in a wheelchair. And we have asked God to heal her. And other people have been praying if she could be healed. But the answer is, so far, that it is not how we would have wanted it. She still remains the way she is. So for us, the answer is to just accept it. As the Apostle Paul, who had the thorn in his flesh, he had this thorn. But God was saying, my grace is sufficient. He did not take the thorn away, but he said, my grace is sufficient. Now, young people, another thing that impressed me when I was young and I was thinking of this certain girl that I wanted to date. Back then, in the culture where we were, it's different than it was today. We would start relationships in secret. And I don't know that everyone at that point did it that way. I'm not saying that. But it certainly blesses me when I hear that other people that were in that age bracket as I came to their parents and asked them for their blessing, and ask them how they thought about this girl or this boy. And I think in the culture that we have tried to teach, that We ask counsel when you do something as serious as asking for a life partner, that first of all, you are wanting the blessing from your parents. Something that is looked at as very necessary. But in my heart, I knew that the girl that I was wanting to ask for her friendship, I knew that my parents would have blessed the relationship. Or in other words, I could not see that they would have anything to say against that. I had that confidence. But I remember when I revealed to my mother who I was, who I saw last night, or who I was with last night, I just remember the smile coming to her face, and she said, "Praise the Lord." That meant a lot to me. But in coming back to what I related as far as my dad being open to receive counsel, taught me a lesson that in my life it was something I wanted to strive for, is to be open to counsel. And today we are going through some situations in our businesses that I feel the need to be open for counsel. And just the other day, we were on the phone with people who are in the business of giving counsel and of giving direction in business and so on. And they wanted to know how I felt. And I expressed myself. And I was a bit shocked, taken back, stunned, when he mentioned to me that is very good, that I don't really find that very much in plain circles. That really got me to thinking. Is why would we in the plain circles have such a big problem with being open with our things and really seeking and receiving counsel? And I just give that for what it's worth. I really believe if we want the blessing of God and the church and our families and so on, we certainly need to be open to counsel. Not in a way that is just blabbing things out or exposing things beyond what they need to be exposed as far as our finances and so on. But certainly, would you not agree that it is in our best interest for our witness to each other within the church and our families, is that we are open to receive and give counsel? I really believe it is. One other place I have seen it, and something that is very important to youth, and that is when you are looking to buy your first vehicle. How exciting is that? I am needing a car. Or my parents also feel that I need my own car or my own vehicle to get around with. You come to that age where the need is there for you to buy a vehicle. How do you go about this? This is new to you. You've never done it before. But this will be a vehicle that will be my very own. How do you go about to do that? Now, I have seen back when I was young, and I'll just expose my immaturity, my foolishness, in this, that when I was young at one point, I made the remark when I saw a certain car that I would jump over the house if I could have a car like that. Now, you know, that might make you smile a little bit, but it just shows how immature I was at that point. And I was not fit to have a car. Because to me, the car that I wanted was a car that everybody would have oohed and aahed and looked up to, and would have been something that maybe would have made me feel like, you know, I'm really in the driver's seat. Wanted everybody to think well of me, so, you know, I wanted a vehicle like that. And I know that there was one young person who once just simply got a car like that and did not ask much advice around, but it was a car that was looked at as really hot. And he just went out and bought this car. And that thing made him so much trouble that in the end, he wished so bad that he would not have bought it. Now normally, and I'm talking to the youth, normally when you ask advice for your first vehicle, are you really completely open to what is the best for you financially and otherwise? Or do you set in your mind about a certain vehicle that you want? And invariably, if you have that attitude that there's a certain vehicle that you want, and you don't really feel inclined to ask advice to buy that vehicle, invariably it will have to be a vehicle that all the other youth really ooh and ah and look up to about that vehicle. And it is not as important to ask your parents' advice because you know they just might not give you advice to buy the vehicle that you really would like to have. You know, a lot of vehicles now, if they are well thought of, or if they are popular, maybe I should say that word, if the vehicle is popular, well, just depend on it that you're going to pay for that popular part of that vehicle beyond what it is really actually worth. Now, I certainly admire, you know, there can also be vehicles that are popular because of their dependability, their soundness, and their simply being a good investment, and they hold their value. Those are all things to consider. But what I have seen young when I was growing up was jacked up Dodge Dusters or, you know, vehicles that were really looked at as hot. And basically, in my opinion, when those vehicles were bought, there was several thousand dollars spent for that vehicle that was just because it was popular. Not that it was even very sound or whatever. And, you know, you do feel for people. I do have a heart for people, young people who feel the need to that connect their identity with a vehicle or maybe some other thing. Connect their identity with that and feel if they could just have that vehicle, I am more of a valuable person and I'm going to be looked up to because I have this vehicle. Isn't that totally outside of the counsel that you would receive from the Word of God? I believe it is. I really believe it is. But it is when we have youth that are completely open to their parents and they really want to know, should I buy this vehicle? And just because you ask advice like that is not a guarantee that the vehicle is going to turn out right. But even if it doesn't, you will be blessed by God in ways that you don't realize. But if us parents feel that our children should ask us for advice and seek our counsel, have we done what we could in teaching them, first of all, that we ourselves are open to seek and receive? If our children are not, maybe there is something that needs to be a sit-down meeting with them and an opening of the hearts to them to really see why they feel as they do. It's something that I feel is very necessary in relationships with our children, that there is a back and forth dialogue that is open and that is hopefully no tension, but that there's just an openness to share feelings there. It can be so very beneficial. I'd like to go to Proverbs and look at several verses as relates to counsel. First of all, in Proverbs 11. In Proverbs 11, in verse 14, he says here, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Not saying that you, whenever you want to make a decision, that you've got to ask a multitude of people. But you know, when there are, when we are, I have seen in my life where there was a need, financial need, with a certain person. And basically, I believe we had to have accepted that, first of all, if someone has financial stress, that it's first opened up to family and see what family can do about it. But second, if family is not able to, or if the resources are not in with a family to do that, then I believe it would next be looked at on as far as the church. I think that is something that is very necessary, because, you know, when we are members of a church, we commit ourselves to walking openly. And if you look at our standard, there are different places in there where it would allude to the fact that we walk and relate openly with each other. And if we really want God's blessing in our finances or in our relationships with each other, it is imperative, necessary, that we are open to each other, to seek and receive, however that is. Another thing that I have done myself when I was young would tend to go seek counsel from people who I felt ahead of time would agree with me, instead of somebody who I knew would not. And so then the person could say, well, I have sought and received counsel. Have you really? If you are going to people who you think will agree with you, have you really sought counsel? Are you really willing to receive counsel? The Bible talks about a certain incident of a king who was asking if he should go to war. And with that, I would like to go to Proverbs in chapter 20 and bring out something it says there. In 20 verse 5, well, it's not in here. It's not in 20 verse 5. I think it's in the next verse that I want to bring out. In verse 5 here, it says, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Counsel in the heart of man. Now, if you're at a place where you really feel that you need counsel, look at the person you're going to and realize that it is like deep water in his heart. Is he willing to share that? It says, a man of understanding will draw it out. But the verse I had wanted also was in verse 18 of Proverbs 20. Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war. And when we talk about war as relates to us today, what are you struggling with in your life? There are different times that accountability groups are set up, or someone wants to be accountable to someone. Back when I was a youth, I had a problem that was hard for me to deal with. And I went to my uncle and asked if I could be accountable to him. And so every so often we would meet and he would ask me certain questions of how I am doing. And to me, it was very helpful in dealing with this problem. I got to the place where I needed to make war with this thing that was constantly dragging me down and hindering me in my spiritual life. And the Bible is clear that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That is exactly what I needed. I needed that counsel. Cannot stress also the importance of having yourself engrossed in the Word of God, and often read the Word of God for your counsel. The Word of God's counsel will never fail. But what happens is when we have situations come into our life like buying that first vehicle, that the Word of God does not just specifically say, yes, that vehicle there is what you need to buy. And so we open ourselves up to seek counsel, and we want wise counsel, and counsel that is that is good. Counsel that will stick with us. And when we do that, just for instance, you have a certain business thing you'd like to do in the church, or it could be otherwise, some other thing in life that you're wondering, is this a wise thing to do? And you open yourself to the church, and the church gives counsel. If that counsel would turn out to not have been the best, don't you think the church would travail with you in that? I would. With the counsel that I had given Henry, if something about that does not turn out right, what kind of attitude would I have if I would just say, big whoop, glad it's not me? Oh no, because I gave him counsel, I will travail with him in that, and I will do what I can to help bring relief or help bring some kind of satisfaction, because I was asked and I gave it. It is not a right attitude for us to say, well, you gave me that counsel, and then the blame thing starts going around. It's not that. We have to recognize when we get counsel from people that they have in good faith told us how things look at that point. We need to look at that if we have asked counsel from someone else. But when that counsel, if we are asked and that counsel doesn't turn out right, we should travail with that person. We should care about that person. But if someone goes out and just does something financially without asking family, without asking the church, and just recklessly goes out there and does it, how responsible then is family? How responsible is the church? Those are questions that we really should ask ourselves. And I have seen cases where people were not asked and something happened financially and the person needed help. And now where do you turn to for help if you have gone on your own in that thing? Walk in the light as he is in the light, and we have fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. I have also have some information here about counsel. And there are this person here felt that there were, as relates to counsel, there were six different things that he questions that he felt were pertinent in any seeking and receiving counsel. And I'll just name those six things. Is it biblical? First of all, number one, is it biblical? Two, is it factual? Three, is it necessary? Four, is it teachable? Five, does it acknowledge the imperfections of human counsel? Six, is it spoken in love? There is a story out there about an angel that showed up at a seminary faculty meeting in order to honor the dean, who had been a man of unselfish and exemplary behavior. The angel said God had decided to reward him with his choice of limitless wealth or infinite wisdom or unmatched beauty. Since the entire staff was on hand, the dean asked for advice. To a man, they all quickly agreed that infinite wisdom was the best choice of those three. In other words, be the wisest man in the world, or have more money than anyone in the world, or be the most beautiful of anybody in the world. And I think all of us here would agree with that. That wisdom would be the best choice. And that is what they all agreed on, that would be the best choice. And so the dean chose to become the wisest man on earth. Done, said the angel, disappearing immediately in a cloud of smoke. And this man was left with a certain halo around him, because now everyone knew that he was the wisest man on earth. Every head in the room turned to the dean. He sat perfectly still, surrounded by a faint halo of light. Now, this is just an illustration. We know it's not something that actually happened, except for with Solomon. And maybe it's alluding to that, I'm not sure. But at length, one of his colleagues whispered, "Say something." They were all anxious to hear what the wisest man in the world would say first. What wisdom had he been given? Everybody was waiting. What is the wisest man in the world going to say? The first words he's going to say. Very slowly, carefully, and certainly he said, "I should have taken the money." And they were all stunned. There is one thing that everyone agreed on. All the other persons who had given him advice to ask for wisdom. There is one thing they all agreed on. And that was that person, that angel, was false. That angel was false. And the reason they felt that way is because they were familiar with what the Word of God taught and knew that money is not the most important thing in this world. And there's a place in Deuteronomy, in chapter 5 it is, I believe, where it does say that even if an angel or a spirit would come down to you looking just like an angel of light, he says that God is going to at times send people that really look like they are right to see if Israel is going to adhere to his word. So when we ask for counsel and advice, and it does not come out with what the Bible says, folks, it's false. And it is not coming from the Spirit of God or from the Holy Spirit. The Word of God is never wrong. If you live long enough, there are times that you will receive counsel that is less than perfect. Because we are human. And we don't always look at things in the right way or in how we should. The first thing to ask about the counsel, is it biblical? Does the Bible support it? And in looking this, we think of Job. He was in an awful situation. It was awful. Everything was taken away from him except his own life. And he was smitten with boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet with sore boils. And even his wife, his own wife that was supposed to give him wise counsel, good counsel, said, "Curse God and die." We just cannot imagine how that situation would be. But the Bible says that in all this, Job sinned not. Job did not go against God. It was a principle that Job was hanging on to for dear life. He would not let go of it. And then his friends came and they sat on the ground with him for 7 days and not uttered a word. And it makes me think of that saying, something about it is better to be silent and thought a fool than to speak and remove all doubt. I'm sure you've heard that before. But you know, the thing that I have quite often learned in my life was that there were times I didn't speak. And I thought about something. And thought about something as far as what should be said. And finally, after a long time, I would open my mouth, and as soon as I said it, I knew it was just a foolish thing to say. Have you had that experience already? I have. It doesn't feel good. But it's just like, you know, maybe there's times you think there's a certain funny thing you could remark and say and people would laugh and nobody laughs. You feel like a heel. Even after thinking about it for a couple minutes, should I say this, you know, or should I be quiet? And you finally decide, well, yeah, you should say it. And then you do. And you just realize it's a wreck. Well, we simply must realize the fact that we are human. We do make mistakes. And it should bring us to the point where we know that we need each other. I need advice and counsel. And Job's friends, when they thought about this for 7 days and they finally opened up their mouth, they said the wrong things. Job said something about being miserable comforters. Well, they had come by to sit with him, to feel for him, and all that in the awful situation he was in. And they were still miserable comforters because what they said was not really factual. There was once when, you know, the Jews had a certain way of looking at things. And so they said, well, let's have a council. And they came from everywhere to Jerusalem to counsel with each other. And what the council was about was how should they relate to Gentiles that were coming to the faith, coming to the knowledge of the Lord. And finally, they counseled that there were just certain few things they would ask of them, and the rest of that, leave it up to them. And that was known as wise counsel, where everyone agreed to it. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted above, beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand under it. Now, when we, there's one other thing I'd like to bring out here, just briefly. There was once a bereaved parent who had lost a child. And the parent was very bereaved about this. I'm sure just like the King family. But this young son died during an operation to correct a heart malfunction. And the preacher took her aside and said, I know that this is a painful time for you, but I know that you will get through it all right, because God never sends us more of a burden than we can bear. God only lets this happen to you because he knows that you are strong enough to handle it. This is what the pastor was telling her. And you know, it could have meant for this bereaved parent that he is complimenting her. God brought this into your life because he knew you could handle it. You are spiritually strong and you can handle it. But you know how this made her feel? She replied, she looked at her pastor and drew a logical conclusion. So, she said, if only I were a weaker person, my boy would still be alive. So, you know, when we try to encourage people, sometimes it just doesn't need words. Sometimes just put your arm around them and cry with them. Don't have to say anything. My time is out, and I want to close looking at Revelations, where there was a church, and it is the church that stands out to us the most in these the things that they were in Revelations 3, the church of Laodicea, where God had said that I will spew you out of my mouth because you're neither hot nor cold. And then as an answer, he said this, the Spirit said this from God, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. Such a wonderful relationship of openness with the spirit that we can have in giving and receiving. But remember, it's tied to us loving our brother. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as also I overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let's kneel to pray.